Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Krang, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kale Teeter, and Russell Young, discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on LinkedIn.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is April 3rd. This is episode number 491, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host, Kale Teeter, and then our special guest, Amit Bajaj. We're going to be talking about the retirement workbook in a little bit, but before we do that, let's get to some news. Kale, I'll go ahead and start. It's a good bit of announcements the last couple of weeks. I picked out some that jumped out at me. The first one, and this one I call out because we had he's going to kill me because I just blanked on his name. One of it's Justin's last name. Moreland. Yeah, sorry. Okay, he's going to kill me. So Justin Moreland came on, you know, maybe a year or two ago to talk about, hanging domains and people, you know, jumping on those and whatnot. And we've recently released the domain name label scope, which helps to tackle that. So it's been, a while coming, took some significant engineering work to get that done. But, now this is built into Azure in a more effective way. Also wanted to talk about Database Watcher. And I'm going to reach out to the team to get them on. But this is basically self-tuning for Azure SQL. So some of the typical stuff that you might see, for low-end DBA stuff, there's no reason for DBAs to do that work. The engines are smart enough these days, and so you can enable that to go do that. This one I thought was really interesting. It's sort of, going in an interesting circle, but we announced a public preview of AKS, so Azure Kubernetes Service, on VMware. And that'll run, it looks like, both on premises as well as AVS, Azure VMware services in the cloud. Coming full circle again, VMware was sort of the original hypervisor, and a lot of people used it. AKS is a cloud thing, and now it's showing up, in virtualized VMware scenarios. So again, great to see those
come together. I don't know the details. Maybe we should dig into that in a little in the future, Evan. But is that using the AKS engine, like that kind of self-contained AKS thing? Or is that like – because that was always a little bit different than the Azure.
So I don't think it's AKS engine because I'm pretty sure we were looking to deprecate that because it causes some interesting challenges. We wanted to add the features, right, to AKS. Mm-hmm. I think if my memory is right – and again, I think it's a good idea to get them on the show. But it was leveraging Azure Arc. Which is, again, that's the way we're enabling some other on-premises non-straight Azure scenarios, right, is by leveraging Arc. But that's good. Well, I'll put it on my list of teams to reach out to. Great. Well, yeah, so given that news, I wanted to introduce Amit. Amit, if you could, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you do here at Microsoft.
Sure. Hello, everyone. First of all, thank you for this opportunity, right? I'm super excited to be here.
You've been working on this project for a while. So yeah happy to have you on.
And good to have this opportunity to share all the learnings and so much goodness which we are doing within Microsoft. My name is Amit Bajaj. I'm the Principal Technical Program Manager within Azure CXP CRA organization. CRA is nothing but Customer Reliability Engineering. I lead data governance and the insights within my organization, right? And about my passion, data is my passion. And it's been a long journey with Azure, I will say. It's almost 10-year association with Azure. So it's a long, right? And from early days of classic deployment to the ARM deployment now, right? So world change. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot to share today.
Yeah, great. Well, let's start out with the sort of the obvious question. What is a retirement workbook and why do I care? I mean, cloud, it's always there, right? I don't have to worry about stuff retiring or do I?
Definitely, right? Because see, we as Azure, right, we have multiple services with multiple components, right? And with the changing world, we need to keep improving, right? From the security perspective, from the feature perspective, from new capabilities perspective, right? So obviously, many times you have to let some of the old things go, right? And so Azure have the policy of basically like kind of announcing the retirement within around 3 year notifications and whatnot. So in an ideal scenario, what we do in most of the cases, we decide that, okay, we have to retire some of the services, we do send the notification providing 3 years of upfront advance notification to the customer so that they can prepare, right? So the change is constant, I will say, right?
Yeah, good point.
So the service retirement workbook is the way to keep you up to the speed with these upcoming retirements.
So this doesn't change the fact that we're communicating about these, but it sounds like, you know, it gives me a one-stop shop to see all of the retirements that do. Is it just the ones that impact me, or is this all the retirements? Like, what's the scope?
That is a good question, right? So there are two flavors. There are two particular personas and the view which service retirement workbook address today, right? So this is on the top of all the goodness which we are doing. So if you look at the service retirement end-to-end workflow, there are multiple avenues, there are multiple work streams by which we communicate to the customers, right? One of the information is Azure updates, right? So we do publish on the Azure updates what's being retired. That's a public announcement, right?
Okay.
So in anyone who is using the Azure, who is not using the cloud, if you want to know what's happening, Azure update is the place where we do announce all these retirements. That's the first place. Second communication channel, which we use the service health alert. If as a customer, if someone is impacted, we do send them the targeted communication, right? For 100% of retirement, we do send them the targeted communication. That is the service health alert.
Okay.
The service retirement workbook is the third scenario where I want to see everything happening around retirement within a unified view. Right.
Okay.
So within the workbook, we have two views. One view provide you how you are impacted. So basically impact analysis for your workload. And then there is a second view which provide a static list of all services which is getting retired, whether you are using that service or not. But you'll have one place now where you can go search, find out all the things what is being retired.
Right. Okay. And I do want to do a call out real quick, Kale. You know, Amit, you referenced that these communications are coming through Service Health. Cannot reinforce this enough. Customers, you should be subscribing to Service Health. You should be, you know, plugging that into your downstream ITSM system like ServiceNow or PagerDuty, because not only do, you know, these non-time sensitive communications go out there, but all of our outage communications go through Service Health as well. And 99% of our communications go through Service Health, only about 1% go to the status page. So customers, if you're not using Service Health today, you know, yes, the retirement workbook's great. You should be using it for that, but you should absolutely be using it for outages as well. That is our primary communication means.
Yeah, just one thing, Amit, on for maybe some of our listeners who are a little bit more new to Azure, you mentioned these workbooks. Maybe you could talk about, so these are integrated into the portal. These are part of like Advisor and stuff like that. Maybe you could like, so that is that like, I just go there, open the workbook, and that's how it knows context sensitive. Hey, I'm running these 10 services and they're affected by this. Or maybe you could go into some detail there, you know, for our more novice Azure guys.
Sure, definitely. So if you look at the Azure workbook, is the Microsoft service itself. So what we did basically, we took that service and using the power of Azure Resource Graph, we build this workbook and we publish this workbook within the Advisor as a blade, right? So Advisor. So if you want to access the workbook, you go to the Advisor. Within the Advisor, you'll see a section for a workbook. If you click there are three workbooks today: reliability, service retirement, and the cost optimization. And today we are talking about the retirement workbook. So this retirement workbook is integrated within the Advisor, because Advisor is our one-stop solution for any kind of a recommendation, right? For any kind of a goodness which you want to share with the customer, we use the Advisor. And that's the reason we thought, okay, hey, that's a good place to host this retirement workbook as well.
And at one point, Amit, this workbook was hosted in GitHub and you had to do something special to get access to it. At this point, it sounds like it's fully integrated. You don't have to do anything special to get to it, or do you still have to do some manual steps to get visibility to this workbook?
No, I think we are past that phase, right? Where someone needs to take some additional steps. So in the private preview, we kept it within the GitHub. Someone need to manually download, upload, whatever it is, right? But now, no additional action required.
Fully integrated at that point.
Right? Fully integrated. Great. Any user who have access to Azure subscription they can go to Advisor. And it's not only for public, right? It's all the Sovereign Cloud. It is available, which is another good news.
Okay. This isn't sort of specific to the retirement workbook. This is maybe stepping back just a little bit. What does it actually mean when we say we're retiring an Azure service? Does the service turn off? Can I use it and I'm just not supported? Like what, you know, or maybe it's different for every service and we communicate this as part of the communication. Let's step out of the workbook piece and talk about that part just a little bit.
So that's a good question, Evan, right? So it depends on service to service. So many times what happened, basically, we send the communication 3 years before saying something is getting retired. And then within that communication, we clearly called out, okay, hey, new user will not be able to use certain service after a certain date. And then after 2 years, 3 years down the line, they will not be able to get the support. And then eventually it's on the path of deprecation. It's not like a switch turn on and turn off. So we do provide end-to-end timeline to the customers, starting from new user, restricting the new user, then starting from ending the support and all that. Because see, customers are using these services. They have a lot of critical dependencies on these services, right? So it's not a one-way decision. What we do, basically, we work with a lot of key customers and we talk to them, understand, help them with the migration, because it's a Microsoft who is retiring the service, but it is a lot of work for our customers, right? So we do acknowledge that work and we work with them to get the things migrated. So once the announcement is done, it's a long journey to get something deprecated, but I will say it's a two-way conversation happen with the customers and we take the decision to finally shut down only when most of the customers is migrated and provided the thumbs up.
And some of this retirement, right, we're not doing it just to force you to, you know, new stuff necessarily, like things like, you know, Azure Classic, right, which doesn't have the concept of zones, right? We went through the retirement for that in the fall, if my memory is right. Like, that's a really good example of, hey, it's really to your benefit to get off of some of these older services, some of these older APIs. Again, it's non-trivial, so we get it. But like, we're not doing it just to push you to the latest and greatest. We're wanting you to get to a more secure, more stable, more capable service, typically in that case, right?
Exactly. Like I said, right? Things are changing rapidly within this industry. And many times, underlying architecture changes. A lot of security things need to be improved on. A lot of reliability features need to be provided. And you shared a good example of zone redundancy, right? Many times, we cannot build something new on the existing architecture, right? So we have to, lot more time, we have to change the basic fundamental. And that's what the Classic got evolved over the ARM deployment, right? So, and the Classic is the biggest retirement coming up later this year, where multiple services who are using Classic will be getting retired.
Along with this stuff, Amit, you mentioned, which is awesome, you mentioned also like you work with customers or partners to understand, you know, their dependencies and those kind of things. But like for someone who's using, let's say, the workbook, if I see I'm going to be affected by this, does that also give me guidance? Like, I mean, we're not just dropping people off a cliff, you know, we're basically saying, hey, we're retiring this thing. Here's the alternatives or here's the ways to address. Is that given in the workbook or how, or do they get that through email or how do they get those kind of information? Yeah.
No, there are two. That's like, as I mentioned earlier, right? There are two communication medium by which we communicate, right? One is the dedicated communication. So customers who are impacted by communication, they get the detailed communication from us, a notification, which called out each and everything, right, with the public documentation and what. So that's the one mechanism. But if someone want to see which services are impacted, right, which resources are impacted, and because from Microsoft, they might be getting 10, 20, 30 notification. So sometimes it is very hard to get that consolidated view. So to address the problem, we introduced this workbook. So at any given point of a time, I want to understand if I have 10 subscriptions and I have like hundreds of virtual machine running on Azure, I want to understand out of these 100 virtual machines, which SKUs are getting deprecated, whatnot. I can come to the workbook, understand out of those 100 resources, which resources are getting retired. And then there is a documentation link next to that particular, within that service, so that I can navigate to the documentation, understand, do we have existing in-place migration, or do I need to upgrade the SKU? So there are multiple, like each and every service have a different mechanism by which we can get the things migrated, right? All that information is available in most of the public documentation, and we refer that documentation within the workbook.
So, you know, help me understand. So I'm a customer and I'm using the retirement workbook. You know, I don't need to check it on a daily basis. Like, what do you recommend? Do you recommend, hey, just get on like a quarterly cycle where you go review this? You know, should I do this monthly? What's the best practice for how frequent I should be looking at this data?
Sure. So just to take a step back, right, to answer that question, we as a Microsoft don't do the announcement like very often, right? We have a particular time period on which we do the announcement, right?
Like every 6 months, right? We do
Month. Ideal scenario, every 6 months, obviously, there are some in some urgent case because of security or something, we might do some urgent retirement. But ideally, it's around 6 month time period when we announce the retirements in a bulk, right? So ideally, as a customer, it's always good to look at the workbook more often, I will say. But like if you start with a month, 1 month or 3 months, it's a good cycle to look at it. I don't need to come. It's not an outage scenario, or it's not any kind of immediate action required thing, right? So, but there are two things, right? There are services which is getting retired after 1 year, 2 year. You can take a look at that less frequently. But if there are services which is getting required in next 3 months, or if you have a dependency on something which is getting retired in pretty soon, it's always good to come back more often to see the dependency, right? Because what we saw generally, even though we communicate to the customers 3 year in advance, there are very less customers who take the action upfront 3 year before, right? So we wait till we get to the close to the retirement, like 3 years, 6 months, and then we start taking the action. So it's become most important to understand, okay, hey, do you have any retirement which is impacting me next 3 months? Obviously, then in that case, you have to come very frequently, understand and look at that workbook. But if you do not have any dependency on the retirement happening in 3 months, then I think we are good to look at every a month or a quarter.
Okay. And I think you said this, but I just want to make sure we've got it. This is when we send this community, or when I'm looking at this data, because we're leveraging graph, this is not a snapshot in time of my usage. This is really a real-time view. So if somebody spins up a new resource that, you know, falls under, it's on a service that's being deprecated, I'm going to see that new resource when I go out to the retirement workbook, right?
Exactly. It's a real-time, like it's a point in time, right? If I'm coming to the workbook today, I see what is the snapshot as of today. So for example, someone in my team took some action 2 hours before, he migrated one resource to the new service or new classification, that particular resource will be rolled off from that workbook, right? So it's a live, there is no data massaging happening at a certain frequency. And that's a good power of a resource graph, I will say, right? And that another thing is the access, right? Because a lot of customers comes and ask us, okay, hey, how the access is being managed, right? So what we are doing basically, we are managing the existing RBAC policies, right? Whatever the RBAC is being used for, having the reader access at a resource level, subscription level. So existing RBAC policies are being used to surface the data. There is no additional access or anything required for the retirement workbook as such.
Go ahead and finish your thought. And then I have a question that just came up coming out of what you just said.
Yes. So if I, as a user, I have access to the resource, then I can see that resource within the retirement workbook. But as a user, I do not have access to the resource. I will not be able to see that information. So the data is pretty secured behind the RBAC.
Okay. So you raise a really good point around the RBAC, which is this probably shouldn't be handled by some central team that's looking across everything, because they may not have rights to see all the resources. If I own resources, I should be going out here individually. So if I own a workload, or if I'm, you know, it's really typical for us to see customers split up all the networking resources into one, you know, some infrastructure team owns the networking resources. Me as the infrastructure team should be going to look and see what's out there and then work with their workloads. Like I have to be able to see it to see it in the retirement stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that's a good point, because again, I might go look and think I'm fine, but it could just be that I don't have rights to the resource that's getting retired, but I still have a dependency on it. I just didn't realize I had a dependency.
Exactly. You
know, it also seems like a good thing for like dev teams. I'm thinking about it from an engineering standpoint, like, you know, PMs could use this kind of manage backlog items a little bit too. Some of our tech debt of saying, for sure, hey, you know, this thing's retiring, we got 2 years on it, but they're keeping track of that thing, you know, so when we're planning our sprints or whatever, we can kind of pull that in the backlog. It's awesome. That's cool.
I would even say you might even go the other way too, Kale, and look at it as, hey, I'm getting ready to architect something.
Oh, sure.
Go take a
sure.
quick look and see if those services are in the deprecation list. I might not want to leverage that for a brand new workload as well.
One thing I want to call out, right, is the filtering capability. Because many times what happens, there are a lot of customers who manage multiple workload within one single subscription, right? And that subscription have access to multiple things. So within the workbook, what we did, we provided the multiple filtering option. Like someone can filter by resource group, someone can filter by region. For example, as a customer, I have a dependency on one particular region, which is the product dependency, and I want to only see the resources for that region. There, we have provided the filtering option so that we can go much drill down, and there is also option to look at the tag, because there are a lot of organization who their workload using the tag. So we have all that data, metadata exposed, so that user can take the advantage and basically filter the required resources and the components.
Yeah, great. No, that's a good point. So this is great. I think my you know, sort of looking forward question, Amit, is like, where do you go from here with the retirement workbook? Are there new scenarios that y'all are looking at? Is this, you know, basically sort of a done thing and you'll make small improvements, but you feel like you're pretty good at this point? What's the next step here?
Good question, right? So if you look at the current retirement workbook, is in the private preview, right? So
in
the preview, right? So what we are trying to do, basically, we are trying to take it to the GA, right? Mm-hmm. And today it's a workbook. We are also thinking how we can make this native experience within the advisor itself. So there are two major things which we are working on. Today, if you look at the coverage of number of services, is around 30% services part of that workbook. We are trying to see how we can increase the coverage, often add more and more services where we are providing the impact analysis. So focusing on adding the more services is the one work stream, and then taking this workbook and adding more user experience related things, right? And making this a native advisor experience is the next big milestone which we are trying to pursue. So these are the two things which we are targeting as of now.
Okay. So all about making it simpler and more, and having broader coverage is really the two pieces. Okay. Great. Awesome. Well, Amit, anything that you want to highlight that we've missed? If not, this was a great conversation. I definitely recommend customers go out and take a look at this.
Awesome. Nothing that I think we covered almost everything.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Well, Amit, thanks for coming on. Full transparency, Amit and I are on the same team. So we hang out a lot, but I just thought this was a great subject for the audience. So it was cool to have you on. Thanks, Amit. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Gil. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on LinkedIn. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.